long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news. Broadcasting live from the studio Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at scaredmonkeysradio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It's always a pleasure to have my next guest on the program, Diane Diamond. You'll know her if you watch Entertainment Tonight. You can see her investigative reports there. She's an author. She's an investigative reporter. She's been in the business a long time and always a friend of the program. Hi, Diane.
Hey, Dana. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Nice to have you back on the program. I want to start. We're going to talk about Charlie Sheen and Hollywood and all that crazy stuff here in a minute or two. But I want to start and get your opinion on what's been going on in Egypt and basically the attack and the attacks against journalists from all over the world. Some couple of Canadians today. We heard the story of Anderson Cooper being beat up. Jeff Palcott from Fox News, I just heard a story about him. It's something. I know when you do that kind of work, it's... I'm not going to say it's an expected hazard, but when you're in something like that, I guess it is expected. But what are your thoughts on the attack on journalists in the Egypt conflict?
Well, I have never covered anything overseas. My husband has. He works for CBS News, and he has covered conflicts in the Middle East. But my basic feeling, Dana, is this. Any reporter knows wherever you go, there is potential danger. I've been in the middle of riots here in America, in Washington, D.C., and in Newark, New Jersey, for example. And it goes with the territory, frankly. And so I watched CNN this evening, and one of my favorites, Wolf Blitzer, led the show with the attacks on the journalists. And how terrible it was that Anderson got hurt, and this one got hurt, and that one got jostled. And I thought, you know what? That's not the story.
Right.
The story is, yes, that happened, but why did it happen? In my mind, the Mubarak government is the one that is directing these crackdowns on the journalists, and it's because something big is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want it captured on tape, and they don't want Western journalists to see it. And I just fear that something very, very bad is in the offing here. These governments are not—they're not too keen on letting their people just demonstrate and demonstrate day after day after day. And I think there's a big crackdown coming, and they didn't want it caught on videotape.
You know, you think back to Tiananmen Square and others, and it just makes your heart sick. I agree with you, and yes, there is a story about the journalists being attacked, but again, that isn't the big story. But Diane, just to and we'll change topics here in a minute, but it, just sure. when you look at these stories and how the news is covering them, it must be difficult as a journalist or as a reporter to cover yourself, so to speak, or others in your business, because you see your friends being beaten, being dragged away in some cases, in war and other conflicts, being killed. How do you stay objective, I guess?
Well, that's the hard part. You know, again, as you say, you see your friends, you see your colleagues, you see people who are there to simply report the truth, and terrible things are happening to them. But I think you stay above it all by remembering the bigger story. And the bigger story to me is that the Middle East is a tinderbox right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw what happened in Tunisia. We see what's happening in Algeria and Jordan. And Egypt is the latest big fat flashpoint, you know. And so, yes, we have to mention that our American journalists, and other journalists, too, the gutter, correspondents from Gutter and other Middle Eastern countries, Al Jazeera, have also been attacked. But the bigger question is, what is happening in the Middle East?
Yeah.
And if you keep the bigger picture in mind, then the fact that Anderson Cooper got a little bit roughed up becomes kind of minor.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Diane Diamond's here. You can check out our webpage by going to Diane Diamond. Diamond is D-I-M-O-N-D www.charlieshean.net. Now, I, when I contacted you and asked you to come on the show, and you're so gracious to agree to come on, and I've been talking about it the last few days with my commentaries and other things on my website, I am so sick of hearing about Charlie Sheen. Now, Charlie Sheen, talented? Yes. But it just, and of course, you know what I do for a living besides talking on the radio. It just drives me nuts to hear about these celebrities, Charlie Sheen, the media grabbing the story. Basically, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, almost to the point of glorifying the fact that, and again, it's all alleged, that he had this big briefcase or suitcase of cocaine delivered to him, and all the porn stars and all this sort of stuff. And you got to wonder, and we've talked about this before with you and other guests, are there ever any consequences? Because it looks like these celebrities can just, oh, I'll go to rehab for a while, and everyone thinks that's okay. But there's got to be some consequences, because if that was you, Diane Diamond, or me, and we had a suitcase of cocaine delivered to our house allegedly, we'd be in jail right now.
Oh, yes, or at least we'd be in front of a grand jury about to be indicted, because there would have been plenty enough evidence. You know, there's so many issues at play here. It's our celebrity worship. It is our fascination with watching famous people, and when will they fall? It's like watching a train wreck.
Right.
You know, when will the train actually hit the wall? And it's also this whole idea, and we've talked about this before, Dana, the effect in America of green justice.
Yep.
If you have enough money, if your attorney is a big, fancy enough guy and can call the district attorney personally, then, you know, the story gets out that, well, you know, he's got a bad back and he needs drugs to get over the pain, or some nonsensical sort of excuse for it all. I fear that, again, we're missing the bigger story, which is when people make so much money, what does he make, like $1 million an episode?
Something like that.
And they do 32 episodes a year?
Yep.
And they misbehave like this. We are telling them by watching the show and making him famous that it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay what you're doing, Charlie. Ha ha ha. Yeah. Oh yeah, you're a coke addict and you have hookers all the time and ha ha ha. And it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, when I first went to Hollywood, oh gosh, back in the 90s, working for the television show Hard Copy, one of the very first stories I did was, and you'll remember this one, the Hollywood Madam,
oh, yeah.
Heidi Fleiss.
Yep.
And she had been, her home had been raided, and several prostitutes had been taken away, and lots of evidence had been gathered. And one of the police officers at the time quietly told me, you know what, we got about $50,000 worth of traveler's checks, all signed by Charlie Sheen. Now, Charlie Sheen has been acting badly like this. He is his character from Two and a Half Men.
Oh, I know.
You think he's acting? He's not acting. That's him.
Yeah.
So he's been misbehaving like this for a long, long time. His father will tell you that he misbehaved like that for a long, long time and then found Jesus.
Yeah. Well,
you know, his father will tell you that religion saved him, and I think he's very worried about his son, as should everybody be.
And no doubt, and I'm sure Martin Sheen is, but when you look back now, let's just twist this a little bit to another direction. You working with Entertainment Tonight or other celebrity-type news programs, and when you go to cover this, if you were to cover this story, I'm interested in your thoughts on this, from the perspective, like I'm asking the questions tonight, like Charlie Sheen has been given so many chances, why aren't there consequences? Why isn't he in trouble? How would that go over? I don't think that would go over too well with the public.
Well, no, I'm afraid it wouldn't, because we are so wrapped up, we're so invested in the spectacle that is Charlie Sheen. Once a week, he's got the most popular comedy show in America. His show, nobody outrates him. And so he's got 25 or 30 million people watching him adoringly every week, and they don't want to hear anything bad about that. This is a man who's captivated their attention, and now to say, yes, but you're captivated by a flawed human being, well, nobody wants to hear that.
Wow.
So, again, it's this vicious cycle. We just keep letting it happen, and society doesn't crack down on it. You know, the last time, honestly, Dana, I really saw a judge in Los Angeles crack down on somebody was Lindsay Lohan's judge.
Yeah. Yep. And now she's...
She misbehaved, and she put her right back in the slammer again, you know? It's going to take that kind of dedication, and I don't really see it with the high-priced lawyers out there in Hollywood. They're pretty influential.
Well, I see Lindsay Lohan's got some more trouble again, but sticking with the coverage, our news shows, are the TMZs, I've had Harvey Levin on this program before, are they doing a disservice or are they doing a service by reporting these stories the way that they're reporting them? Obviously, the public has a craving for them because they do. They want to know what Charlie Sheen's doing. They'll sit back and laugh about what he's up to. Is it just that popular to keep...
No, see, you hit the nail on the head, though, Dana. It's the way they cover it. When you look at TMZ, and no disrespect, it's a very popular internet site, but it sort of titters about it. It's like the hand is up at the mouth going, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee, look at this, ooh, Charlie's misbehaving again, when in fact the real story is Charlie's killing himself.
Right.
And we're watching it happen.
Yeah.
And nobody's stopping him. And, you know, the network honchos may in fact be facilitating it by paying him so much money that he can just throw it away on, allegedly, suitcases full of crack.
Right.
So it's the way that we cover it and the cavalier sort of attitude instead of making it somber and saying, you know, we're watching this guy kill himself. TMZ had a picture of Charlie Sheen up on its website yesterday or the day before, and it purports to be from this period of time, this latest binge that he was on. And I have to tell you, I looked at that. I don't know if you saw it, Dana, but he looks like he's ready to be put in a box, like into a coffin.
Yeah.
His eyes are red-rimmed, and he's very skinny, and, you know, with no makeup and no hair people to help you, this is what he really looks like now, and it's really frightening.
Diane Diamond's here, and we're talking Hollywood. We're talking Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan. And you know, Diane, we can go back to O.J. We can go back to, was it Confidential magazine in the 50s?
We can go back to Elvis Presley.
Sure.
When we thought he was the king of pop, you know, or the king of rock, I guess he was.
Yeah.
And really, secretly, we saw him balloon up and get heavy and fat and sweaty, and nobody said, hey, wait a minute, what's the matter with him? Well, now we know the matter was he was on drugs.
Destroying their lives, yet we see young people who idolize and use these personalities as role models, and it's very difficult to see. And here, there's maybe a handful of journalists out there that now will bring those stories forward. Your old partner, Geraldo, is one that will do that.
Right.
And some others that will take these celebrities to task. But without me continuing to harp on that subject, when you see that, and then you see, let's use Robert Blake for an example. When Robert Blake was being tried for murder with Bonnie Lee Bakley, a lot of people, young people, probably said, Robert who? You know, you had to be of my age or older to remember Robert Blake from Beretta and the other programs. But now when we see the Lindsay Lohans and the Paris Hiltons and the penny ante DUIs are one thing. But you know and I know something is going to happen one of these days. You're going to get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning saying you better get out somewhere because somebody's just died or somebody just got killed or some celebrities got themselves a whole mess of trouble. We haven't had a big celebrity trial for a while, but I just had that feeling that one's going to be coming up. I don't know who.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, if the district attorney in Los Angeles, and I have friends in that office, if they really wanted to do a public service, if they wanted to help a man who is publicly destroying his life, they would file some charges against him.
Absolutely.
Because you can't tell me when they went into that house this last time on the 911 call of his next-door neighbor, the doctor, that they didn't find some drugs.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, they found something, and at the very least, they found some hookers.
Yeah.
And there's got to be something somebody can do. Now, maybe they're trying to do that, but I guarantee you, I don't know who Charlie Sheen's attorney is right now, but it may be the very famous Marty Singer. And Marty Singer is famous for picking up a phone and getting grand juries dismissed and charges never filed. And it doesn't do the client any good. It just doesn't do the client any good. I don't know what the answer is. I really don't, because, you know, this is America. You get to do what you want.
You know,
so if you want to put a bunch of powder up your nose, could you make $30 million a year? Okay, I guess nobody can stop you, but there are laws against it. And, you know, we see the devastating effect from Phil Spector to Robert Blake, who is said to have drunk too much, and Spector, who is said to have done drugs, and Michael Jackson, and O.J. Simpson, and, you know, the list goes on and on.
Absolutely.
It's not going to end until we change the way we treat these people.
Mel Gibson. We heard nothing about, or we've heard everything about Mel Gibson for the longest time. It's started to slow down now. It was comical to see TMZ talking about Oksana's 40 lawyers. In fact, our mutual friend and my next guest, Robin, was, I think, lawyer 39. I'll talk to
Robin Sachs. Yeah. Yes, yes.
I'll tease her about that later. But here you have a guy who was... Yeah, I don't think you can get any worse PR than what he got.
Were any charges filed?
Yeah.
Were no hate crime charges filed when he viciously, anti-Semitically attacked a police officer who happened to be Jewish? He was driving drunk. He allegedly hit this wife with the baby. No charges.
Yeah.
None.
And it's just amazing. But anyway, Diane Diamond's here. You can see her on Entertainment Tonight. Check out her webpage at dianediamond.net. I want to get into a little bit about reality television here. But just before I let you go, Diane, we've got about another about 8-9 minutes. I happen to see one of my favorite programs is the E! True Hollywood Story. And you know when you made it, when you have an E! True Hollywood Story made about you. And by gosh, there's Kate Gosselin's E! True Hollywood Story on last night. Now,
I missed that.
Is it something that, are they running out of stories to tell? Because I think they have a great, I like the E! True Hollywood Story. It's a great program. But Kate Gosselin, but really, reality television has taken over. If it isn't the Kardashians, it's whatever Hugh Hefner's ex-girlfriend wants to have a reality show, whoever's reality show. And you got to wonder, with the Snookies and all that sort of stuff out there, are we seeing the final death of television as we know it, the sitcom, the drama, and are we just going to be seeing a lot of reality nonsense out there?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is the trend of the future because it's inexpensive, much more inexpensive than hiring writers to craft a script and hiring good actors to act in it. You know, name actors cost money. And so if you get the Snookies and you get the Kate Goslins and you get the John Goslins and, you know, this Mormon group out in Utah now to reveal how they're breaking the law every day by having multiple marriages.
Yeah, geez.
It's cheaper. It's just cheaper. Do you remember the A&E biographies?
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Of famous people, and they were so well done and glossy and beautiful. And I know somebody who used to work there, and they would take 2-3 months to really film those and produce them well. And we don't have that anymore.
No.
Now we have Kate Gosselin.
Yeah.
I don't mean to denigrate her, but she's certainly not Katharine Hepburn.
No, absolutely.
You know, she's not Isabella Rossellini. She's not Jane Fonda or, you know, some actress or actor who has a big body of work behind her. She's got a show where she cries about having 8 kids.
Yeah.
Well, why'd you have 8 kids then, you know?
And I didn't realize...
I'm not attracted to that kind of television, I must admit.
I didn't realize, and I guess you learn something new every day, and I thought I was pretty much up on all pop culture, but the Goslins first got brought to television through a home improvement show, and I'm not sure if you knew that or not.
I did, only because I covered their divorce.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess you did. You spent time with John, didn't you?
I did spend time with John and a little bit with Kate. She didn't really want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And then later, Entertainment Tonight hired her.
Right.
So then she was very friendly to the program.
Well, you know, any relationship can turn into a train wreck, and you got to think about the children, and you have to think about all that, and what's most important. But really, Diane, when it comes down to it, the people, the folks out there that turn on the TV, that watch the commercials, that buy the products, they like these reality programs. And there's a History Channel program called Pawn Stars. And I've actually had the fellow that runs a pawn shop in Vegas on my show, and his business has increased 600% just because of the half-hour program that's on TV once a week. And you know, with that 500 channel universe, and you've been in the business a long time, and I guess I'll give you the last word. Will we see a 700 channel universe, or are we finally out of ideas as far as channels go? Like, I don't think there's any new ones that we can have, because there's just about everything covered out there.
That's right. I think what we're going to run out of before that is bandwidth.
Yeah.
I think we've got the channels we're going to have. I think they're going to keep changing and evolving, but I'll tell you the thing that bothers me the most when I watch those kind of programs. When they involve children.
Yeah.
You know, I write a syndicated column every week about issues of crime and justice, and I post it on the website, but it goes to newspapers nationwide. And I got a lot of reaction to a column I wrote recently about using children, like, frankly, the Kate, John and Kate 8, and other children in these reality shows. I mean, the cameras are there when they're being potty trained and in the bathtub and when they're having temper tantrums, and you know, we haven't decided in this country if that's okay, or is that child abuse or exploitation anyway. I think that reality television executives need to sit down and really ask themselves, are we helping this country or hurting this country? Is this a good thing to show on television? Are we educating anybody by showing the Mormons in Utah with the four wives and the 17 children, who, by the way, are breaking the law under Utah law? You know, it's like we're glorifying the wrong people. We used to glorify people like, you know, MacArthur and Eisenhower, and I guess I'm dating myself now. Actually, they're a little before my time, but astronauts and scientists, and now we're in awe of people who are on reality TV named Snooki who roll on the beach and get drunk and vomit.
Yeah. Jeez.
There's something wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Call me crazy. Call me old-fashioned.
And
there's something wrong with that.
What are you up to? Who are you writing a book about now, or what's in your future?
Well, you know, I wrote a book about the so-called White House gate crashers, which, you know, they didn't crash the White House at all. You don't crash the White House.
No.
For goodness sake, that was pretty bad reporting, and everybody just followed suit. I'm now looking at a story about two sisters in Mississippi. You may have heard this story. They were imprisoned 16 years ago, unlawfully, I believe, for crime everybody says they didn't commit, and they shouldn't have been in prison. And I started writing about them, the Scott sisters.
Yep.
And one of them was so ill she needed a kidney transplant. So I've called for, and other members of the media called for, people to write the governor of Mississippi and ask for clemency for these women. They had double life sentences with no parole for a robbery that netted the men involved $11.
Mm-hmm.
The men later admitted these girls didn't have anything to do with it. So, long story short, they got out of prison after 16 years. And I think that their story would make a really good book.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking at that one. They're called the Scott Sisters.
Sounds good, and we'll have to talk about that again sometime. Diane Diamond, you can see her on Entertainment Tonight. Check out her webpage at dianediamond.net. Thank you, ma'am. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. You always ask such good, thoughtful questions, Dana. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Diane Diamond, and you'll see her with her investigative reporting on Entertainment Tonight. You know that show, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, we're going to take a break, and I guess I shouldn't have done that. We'll be back here on Scared Monkeys Radio in just a minute with former assistant district attorney from Los Angeles County, Robin Sachs. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. I'm Dana Pritzer. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. You'll know my next guest, Robin Sachs, is a former assistant district attorney, current attorney, author, television analyst, you name it, she's done it, and she's always welcome here on the program. Hi, Robin.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to have you back on the program. Now, I'm going to get in trouble but this is nothing unusual for me, for going with this line of questioning. My first guest, you knew or know, and I talked to her about this, and I'm going to talk to you about this, too. From your perspective as a person who lives in Los Angeles, who follows the Hollywood scene, so to speak, who was a district attorney down there at one time, I am so sick of Charlie Sheen. Obviously, he's a train wreck. But why isn't this man in jail right now? Because if you, allegedly, we'll throw that word in because we have to do that, or I had a bunch of prostitutes at our house and a whole bunch of cocaine delivered to us in a suitcase, we'd be in front of a grand jury or we'd be sitting in a jail cell somewhere.
Well, it's so funny that you talk about Charlie Sheen because, you know, he's my new favorite train wreck. I always have there's always a train wreck du jour around here, and Lindsay has been entertaining us for a while, and now we're on to Charlie. And I agree with you. I mean, I think that there is an unbelievable amount of frustration, especially if you compare the two. The Lindsay, who's, you know, by far worse on the scale of outward abusive behavior. I mean, here you've got somebody, forget about the drugs and alcohol part, but let's just look and go back and forget about the cocaine and all that other stuff. I mean, just let's talk about the complete physical offensive behavior. Yep. that is a part of him that he completely got away with. And that was when the domestic violence case actually broke back several months ago with Brooke, where he was at first facing felony charges. There was a knife involved, and the guy ends up getting a misdemeanor, some mischievous type of misdemeanor, where he's able to serve his time in Malibu, of all places. And that was because his original agreement to do the time, the probationary community service time, was to be done at a theater in Aspen, Colorado. And because that theater didn't allow smoking, which he does, he decided to opt out of that program. So here he's able to get the charges he wants, the facilities he wants, and then, to add insult to injury to all of us people out here who care about victims, is that then he gets welcomed with warm, fuzzy arms from CBS, saying, not only are we going to, you know, keep you on the show, but we're going to wait for you at any time that you may have some brushes with the law. And they basically said, listen, he shows up to work on time, so we don't care. So can you tell that I'm irritated? Yes, I am.
Yeah. It just drives me nuts. Robin Sachs is here. You can check out her webpage at robinsachs.com. When you see a story like this, and Charlie Sheen, I've heard $1 million an episode, all of this stuff, the Colorado incident, you're so right. When you see this, and I can remember very clearly that one of the first shows that you and I did together all those years ago, we were talking about Hollywood injustice, and I can't remember who it was. It might even have been about Charlie Sheen and Colorado at that time. I'm not sure which one it was, but when you see that and you see the public and you see how these entertainment shows and even the news programs, they're not reporting about Charlie Sheen. They're talking about the drugs and all that a little bit, but they're more interested in how the Two and a Half Men set is going to be closed down until he comes back, and how he's, you know, as soon as a celebrity gets into trouble, they think that rehab is the quick, easy out. But now asking you as an attorney, I don't know who represents Charlie Sheen. They must be a genius or have some good pull. When you have someone like that and they come forward and say, I want to go to rehab, how many times can Charlie Sheen get away with that before there's some consequences, or will he just keep getting away with it?
Well, you know, I'd like to think that it's Yale Glanter, who's the lawyer who's been responsible for this amazing legal work, that it's because of him and that he's, that Charlie's gone free and not been held accountable. I would like to think that was the reason, because at least that would be as a result of someone's good hard work. The problem is I don't really think that it is necessarily Yale's answer by which the benefits to Charlie Sheen continue to come. I think the biggest enabler and facilitator here is CBS and Warner Brothers. I mean, I think that what they say is, you know, their actions are what's speaking loud and clear. I mean, I think that, you know, first of all, and frankly, I also blame the prosecutor, you know, who have had him for charges in the past who didn't do anything about it. You know, right now, the police going in on some other stuff and getting involved in and drug treatment and so forth and prosecuting him for crimes that haven't been, you know, reported or fresh or whatever, it's just, you know, that's not the job of law enforcement. The law enforcement has done their job when it came to Charlie Sheen at the time of the domestic violence and the time where there's been other disputes, and then they bring it to the prosecutor's office and it's the prosecutors who haven't been filing it. But then the other part is that CBS seems to come in here and they keep his show on, so there's no, you know, it's kind of civil or outside of criminal consequences, and you know, according to them, is they don't really care because the ratings keep going up.
Yeah, that's just it. And the people love it. The people want to hear about Charlie Sheen, and they sit back and they laugh. But, you know, as a victim's advocate and as someone who's worked so hard all her life to help children, how do you talk to kids to say that maybe the Charlie Sheens and the Lindsay Lohans aren't the role models you want to follow? Because you look at the Facebook and the Twitter and the whatever, all this social networking stuff and all the websites and the TMZs and everything that's out there, they're putting these guys on a high pedestal, and the young people are wanting to emulate them, and it's just not doing any good.
No, I mean, and that's the thing. The thing, though, that's so crazy here is that, you know, it's not really the public that seems to be rallying around him. I think that the public who rallies around him in terms of viewership on television is coming at it because they're curious now by the publicity to see how good of an actor Charlie Sheen is and what's the show all about, and that's what's driving them to the show. And I don't think that anybody saying, God, he's such a talented, great, amazing guy. No, I mean, on 2.5 Men, he virtually plays himself. So he's being who he is, and that's what's giving, and the curiosity is giving the, is driving the interest and therefore driving the ratings. And therefore, you know, he's a celebrity by celebrity stature, but in terms of actually accomplishing anything and being a role model for kids, I just can't put that I can't wrap my brain around that. I don't think many people can, because I don't think he is a role model.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I don't think that anybody else does either. Yeah.
I hope not. I hope not. Robin Sachs is here. Let's talk some crime. Let's talk some punishment. I caught you on, I was flipping around through, I wanted to watch Dancing with the Stars. No, I didn't. I was flipping around, and there's Robin on Jane Velez Mitchell, or I caught you on something here the other day. And I just am going to ask you point blank. What have you been working on? What kind of stories have you been talking about?
Well, you know, it's been interesting times over here. Here in the last week, we've got, you know, the celebrity justice stories that are going around, the Charlie Sheen and the Lindsay Lohan, and we've got this alleged theft of the necklace that Lindsay's faced with.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's Bruce Beresford Redman, and it seems that there's been some new documents filed in the extradition process to actually by the sisters, the Burgo sisters, Monica's six sisters, to get the extradition process so that Mexico can do something. So I've been working on that. But what I've also been working on, really, is the regular injustices that you cover, that I cover from a media point of view, but that now that I'm really covering from a legal point of view. I mean, I'm really working with clients to try to maximize the use within the criminal justice system and doing that old fancy thing of practicing law, you know, that I sometimes discount its value and its importance with. So that's what I've been doing here. But, you know, as we get on Super Bowl weekend, and one of the things that I've come to understand and learn through my experience is all about this human trafficking stuff, and sex rings get heightened during times of Super Bowl and Super Bowl weekends, and particularly in a place like Dallas where everything is about 2 hours away, 2 to 3 hours away. You can get anywhere in the United States basically to Dallas. So I think that, you know, from a, as we celebrate the football, sporting events, we also need to remember that there are, you know, with every good comes sometimes the worst of society, and then that, you know, kids being sold, people being sold is a form of trafficking.
Absolutely. And when you see a venue like the Super Bowl or the Rose Bowl or whatever, and you have such a, and we've covered the stories on this program, and you have too for many, many years, you have tens of thousands, 50,000, whatever, however many people there, that potential to be abducted even is so great. And, you know, the safety work that you've done and to prepare young people, young women, what to look for and what to pay attention for. Let's just go over, Robin, while I've got you, four or five things that when you're in a venue like that, like there's the simple things, you know, be in a group together, have your cell phone with you, you know, if someone seems like they're following you, get a hold of someone, you know, things like that. But what are four or five good safety tips to the young folks out there or anyone that's in a big, huge venue like that to protect themselves and to protect their children?
Well, I think first of all is that, you know, we all walk around with cell phones, so this is an opportunity to reconfigure some of those auto texts and have auto texts that state something to the effect of help, and it's an emergency, I've got to, you know, call the police, something that could be with a stroke of one key could send up a message that help is necessary. That's one thing. I think this is a time for people to catch up on reconfigure their code word so that they have a code word that means the same, so that if someone called them or they were able to make a call, that's a code word that means there's an emergency. Kids and parents should have that. Adults should have that with roommates, boyfriends, husbands, co-workers, or whatever, so that there's a uniform word to know that there's a problem. Also to, you know, as you walk around places that are busy like that, is to keep your finger on your phone. One of the best things that you can do is if you're getting abducted or kidnapped in any way, is to send, even hit send on the phone,
yep,
so that there is some sort of ping, so that the correct ping makes its way to the cell tower, so at least we can identify where the person may have been in the last, you know, moment that they did have their cell phone. Those are the abduction tools, but I think that we just need to use this as an opportunity to remind us to talk about safety. And I think that what happens in large numbers, the biggest risk are the unwanted touches that can happen, with someone pinching someone's buttock, someone grabbing someone's breast, those kinds of things. And even though people may blame themselves because they're drinking or they're having fun or doing whatever, they should know that that is any unwanted behavior. It's still a crime, whether they're drinking, doing drugs, whatever they may do, and they need to report if it happens, because chances are one butt grabber is most likely a continuous butt grabber or even worse.
Robin Sachs is here. You can check out her webpage at robinsachs.com. You've been doing a lot of TV work. Your thoughts on what's going on in Egypt and what some media outlets are calling the attack on journalism. We heard about Anderson Cooper getting beat up. There was a Fox News reporter, Greg Pelcott, I believe, that was beat up. It is a hazard, I'm sure, when you get into a zone and you start covering something like that. But it seems like the big story is, you think of Tiananmen Square, or you think of even the riots after Rodney King or things like that, that maybe they don't want the media to be covering what's really going to happen out there. Are we going to be expecting something big?
Well, I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, we have to ask what length will people go for a story. And I think that our media now, one of the problems, and it's a benefit and it's a hazard at the same time, is that because people have become so accustomed to getting news faster and quicker and more succinctly and shorter and Facebook status and whatever than ever before, the risk that traditional journalists and journalists will take to get this story quicker and sooner than everyone else becomes a point where there's potential danger. And obviously you're seeing, at what point is, you know, does A.C. Cooper say, you know what, my life is worth more than this show?
Yeah.
At what point does a journalist say, you know what, I'm not going to go get embedded in, you know, the Afghanistan war and put my family at risk? And it's unfortunate, you know, it's nice that journalists are so motivated to want to break the story, but you have to wonder, is it being done for the better good or is it being done just to be done?
Yeah.
you know, that's something we have to keep in perspective.
That's a good point. Robin Sachs is here. You can check out her webpage at www.robinsachs.com. We touched on Lindsay Lohan a little bit earlier today with the necklace, talked about with Diane Diamond, and now I'm going to ask you, is the media making too much of this story? Should we even care that Lindsay Lohan may have taken a necklace? Is there not anything else that they can cover? Or again, just like with Charlie Sheen, is the public just wanting to hear more and more?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I do think it's important for us to know this at this point. I mean, at this place in the game, you can't, you know, this is an opportunity to see, to teach young people, at least in Lindsay Lohan's case, of, that there is responsibility for your actions. And Data, you know it as well as I know, that once you get, you find yourself wrapped in the criminal justice system, the criminal justice system kind of becomes a rabid dog that won't go away if you continue to continue to live in the life of crime. And so as you're seeing it with Lindsay Lohan, I mean, here you have someone who is under a microscope, and you know what, she's not under a microscope because she's Lindsay Lohan, I mean, other than the paparazzi aspect of it, but she's under a microscope because she's been on probation for a number of times.
Yeah.
And yes, there are people who want to see her screw up and people who don't have her best interest at heart, but it's like, if you're going to be out there and you're going to be on probation and you're going to get the better extent of probation, the idea is that you're living a clean life. So it matters what you do. It matters if you're stealing necklaces. It matters if you're drinking. It matters if you're doing drugs, because you don't get to have the same freedoms that you and I get, you know, when you're on probation.
Right. Well, probation is a second chance, or in some cases a third chance. And I could never understand the court system, and I'll give you the final word with this. When someone breaches their probation, and I'll be using probably a little Canadian lingo, but I'm sure you'll understand it, and they're taken back in front of the judge, and the judge puts them on probation for breaching their probation. And again, maybe I'm getting too old-fashioned and I need to retire from policing, because I just don't see the consequences in the system anymore that we used to see.
Well, I mean, I think that it's very disparate, and I think that's what the issue is that there's some cases where the consequences are so unfitting and over the top for the circumstances,
yeah.
And then in another situation, they're so not appropriate. And I think that you can't see that, you can see the disparity at the best when you have celebrity justice, and it's also... And I think there's a lot of disparity even amongst celebrities themselves. I mean, why is it that Charlie Sheen gets to be Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan has to suffer the consequences? I mean, it's like, what are we doing around here?
Yeah.
But that's the problem, is that there's not a lot of uniformity between, from state to state in laws and county to county and law enforcement. Let's just talk about, you know, from judge to judge in the same courthouse, or... You know, would the same judge in Aspen done the same thing for Lindsay Lohan? Would that she have gotten a better deal? You know, why do some people get under more scrutiny than others? And it's just, you know, it's a combination of factors, and there isn't a lot of uniformity. And I think that has to also deal with the fact that the DAs and judges have so much discretion. They have so much choice in terms of how to sentence, how to treat a case, how things happen, that kind of power could be easily misused and not be uniform and therefore not be fair.
Absolutely. Well said, as usual. Her name is Robin Sachs. You check out her webpage at www.robinsachs.com. Thank you, ma'am. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Robin Sachs, former ADA out of Los Angeles County, and I am Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Check out our webpage at www.scaredmonkeysradio.com. There you can pick up the show live. You can pick up podcasts of past shows, daily commentaries, and send me a message, do whatever, and we're here for you. So good night, everybody.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guests' websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of ScaredMonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.